Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Courtney is off today. Another flex day. She must be the leader in the veritable clubhouse when it comes to flex days.
Hands down.
Sure is. I would say.
Yeah, she's definitely.
Know, when you're at the Breakers.
Right. You know, bachelorette party, Palm Beach.
Enjoy
nice.
It.
Sure it's nice.
Yeah.
Curtis says, weather not so nice. Today will be nice, but the weekend not so nice. But then, smooth sailing in the 70s all week next week, Curtis.
Looking like an early start to the summer next week in the greater Boston area. In Springfield, which is basically Paris, will be there Thursday night.
Yeah, we will be in Springfield on Thursday night for the first roadshow pregame, and that is at Taps, the sports bar at MGM.
Do you know about our lodging? Where are we staying?
I'm assuming that we're staying again at the MGM.
I love that hotel.
Such a beautiful place. And I'm going to reach out to my man, Ken, to see if my boy from the cigar room could bring a cigar room to bring us some stogies.
Yeah.
Well, some stogies.
I think we're probably going to have to find a new place for dinner.
Yes, sir.
Because you got us banned from the last place because you were talking loudly.
Really?
Do you remember that?
I remember talking, but it was just like I was talking. But my wife does say I am a bit of a loud talker.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah, so that's it.
And constant, really.
But I grew up in a loud talking family household, so I think it's just
Italian families, it's always when you're in that, it's the louder person wins. Yeah. You just keep yelling and then that's
I'm like,
how it
this
works.
Is kinda how we talk. We were all loud, so I guess maybe
I think Wiggy being at your restaurant brings in business. I think they should be saying thank you,
that's
not
all
quiet
good.
Down.
But you know what? The great thing about this audience is they know food. And they know adult beverages. So if you have a recommendation on where we should go to dinner Thursday night next week, then tell us. And then cannot wait for the road show, which is a week from today, and we'll be at Max's Swing Lounge. Speaking of adult beverages, you asked, we delivered. You want it to be at a place that wasn't like prohibition dry. So we will be at Max's Swing Lounge.
We're a lot funnier with the buzz on.
100%. 100%.
Think the Coxes will show up for that one?
Swing Lounge.
A great name, though. Max's Swing Lounge.
That's awesome.
I thought you were suggesting they were going to get a table at 5 a.m. and then keep it all day long.
No, because we know Courtney grew up in a swinger community. But the name is so good, Max's Swing Lounge.
Well, it's that because of golf.
I get that.
Can work on your game while you're listening to the show. No better place to do it.
I get that.
All right.
Can we get a quick one hole battle? It's just an appetizer.
Oh, me and John?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'll be
Sean, are you going to be there?
No, I won't be there. That's right.
Shoot.
I forgot about that. We got to just wait for the match.
Hill Notes, 920, as they always are. Leave one now on the Odyssey app on any topic. A bunch of them out there today, including the Will Campbell pick. And the Red Sox loss and Celtics game 3 and Joe Mazzulla's comments doubling down on needing to push Jason Tatum. And so you can leave a Hill Note on any topic. Whenever the spirit moves you, just leave a voice note and we'll play the best ones back coming up at 9:20.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They said it, brought to you by Ketch's Law. And if you know somebody who built this city, whether it was the Zakim Bridge or Fenway Park or hospital or your favorite downtown building or somebody who has helped make Boston what Boston is, then Ketch's would like to honor them. They are honoring those who built this city. Please nominate your friend, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your grandpa, whoever it is, when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. And they could win $1,000 cash, tickets to a baseball game, be on a billboard Etc. So WeBuiltTheCity.com. Shine, where do you want to start?
Well, Greg, I think it's imperative we begin with head coach Mike Vrabel. After making the selection of Will Campbell at fourth overall, he had a bit of a press conference down at the Patriots facility, and he was specifically asked, is Will Campbell a left tackle? Here was Mike Vrabel.
Is he a left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's where he started, and he's a left tackle, and, you know, that's what he's played. That's what he's, you know, done. And so he'll come in here and he'll compete to be the left tackle, just like everybody else is going to compete for their spots. That's what we're trying to create here. It is something that there's competition at every position, and that our players believe that the best players are going to play.
Well, that's good to know. At least we know he's going to be the left tackle. He'll compete, and now we'll be all eyes on him. Please don't give up too many sacks, because if they do, and like Genty's balling or my guy Tyler Warren is balling, we're going to be Mike, what you do here, bro?
And the left tackle is not a spot where you can really be hidden.
Nope.
Like you're kind of on an island. We'll know pretty early on if you're getting trouble.
I mean, you play. I heard Vrabel say, Shime, you know better than me, but played 38 out of 40 games SEC-wise. I mean, he's a... you know, if you're drafting at that position, he's a good get.
Yeah, look, I don't love Campbell. I think Vrabel is really leaning into those culture and attitude guys, and Campbell definitely fits that mold. Like, he's nasty, but he's team first. He's gonna, if Drake May gets knocked down late in a play, Will Campbell's gonna go punch somebody.
Well,
like, that's
the kind
of guy he is.
Like, even if you don't like the pick, like me, I think there's one good thing about it, and that is that we now know definitively, without a doubt, who is firmly in charge of the operation over there.
Yeah.
Because you had one guy who, when they allowed him to speak, dramatically told you that they weren't going to draft for need anymore.
Right.
And then
what they
the other guy, the other guy said, yeah, no, we're drafting for need.
Right.
So did they even let Elliot talk on the phone with him? Or,
I don't think so. I'm not aware of.
Okay, he doesn't. Does he get to dial the cell phone?
Oh no, I bet he called the Green Bay to tell somebody to put the slip in. Yeah. That's what he got to do.
He's that guy.
I mean, honestly, at this point, why? If you're Elliot Wolf, why are you even here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're getting a paycheck.
Yeah, but why would you like? They let you speak. Nice thing to do. Why would you dramatically declare that you're not going to draft for need when? Did he think he was going to overrule Mike Vrabel?
Well, Schrager tells us he lies, so maybe he was just lying.
I mean, it's so
bizarre.
No,
I told you.
Like,
I think
it's
he's...
like, hold on. Oh, yay. Oh, yay. We are no longer drafting for need. Okay.
Oh, yay.
I told you.
But every team in the NFL, like every team, on some level drafts for need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to say that, like, even that comment from him was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, because...
Everybody needs a position.
Right.
And usually when you draft that guy, you needed that position.
And if you're drafting the top five, odds are the person you're drafting is a better prospect than the guy you currently have at that position.
I told you, I think it's like, you know...
Fall guy?
No, it's Robert and... You know how when I told you somebody marries somebody and then they're like the husband owns the company and the wife goes, hey, listen, is there any way you can get my cousin a job there? Throw a placard on his door, make him seem like he's doing something, but just do it for me. And the guy goes, all right, I don't want to hear my wife. So, yeah, I'm going to hire your cousin who I know can't do the job.
But, Greg, you lived this here. We had a program director at WEEI. You came over from WAAF and upstairs Joe was born.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you had a guy.
Yeah.
We had a guy. Yeah. It was part of the new process. And, you know, that's what happens in life.
Well, I'll tell you what. My guy is Ken Laird.
Well,
I mean, really. Honestly.
I mean, I can't see where you end and he begins.
All right. We can hear from Will Campbell. I will say a lot of text messages this morning on the Subaru of New England text line suggesting that Will Campbell won them over when speaking last night. Personality, character-wise, or whatever. So we have some Will Campbell.
Yeah.
Right?
So we talked a lot about the fits of some of the players last night. Will Campbell got asked about his fit. Here's what he had to say.
Break down the fit for us, real quick.
Yeah. I just got on some Louis V shoes. It's the first time I've ever worn any Louis Vuitton shoes. I'm more of a boots jeans guy. green suit. That's really just simple. I saw this. I liked it. You know, the Rolex probably stand out the most. Try to keep it simple.
But, you know, he was, I assume it's real, like Curtis this morning during his lead. He was emotional, and he's excited to be a Patriot.
Oh, he's excited just to, you know, that and to get drafted. Is like
he talked a lot about Mike Vrabel and Mike Vrabel being a football guy. And, you know, I think there's clear, he said when he walked in the building, he was the very first time he was impressed by what they got going here. So,
the one thing that the hair across his ass reminds me a bit of Logan Mankins, a guy that was a 32nd pick, also a first rounder, but the end out of Fresno State, who was viewed as a reach by Bill at that time. And he was one of the best. I mean, Dante Scarnecchia to this day says it's the best lineman he's ever coached.
And that goes back. And that goes back to my point. It is Logan Mankins, unbelievable career. Would you rather have him or Gronk?
Oh, Gronk.
And that's all I'm saying, and that's why I go back to...
But if this guy's Gronk, that means he's the best tight end in NFL history.
But that's why when I'm picking at number four, that's my expectations of said player.
Right. But you see what I'm saying? Wiggy, the argument that people use, and they've been using it all morning against me because I wanted them to take Ashton Jeanty, is that you don't know how long you're going to have that player for. You can end up with a flash in the pan kind of situation. This guy is a foundational player, and you got to get the foundation set before you start changing the drapes or adding the deck or addressing the landscaping or whatever. So,
but even if you get Jeanty for 8 years to be like Christian McCaffrey, would you take McCaffrey or Mankins?
But here, I would take Mankins
with
over
a new
McCaffrey.
Quarterback, though, can you argue that Drake May really you need the opportunity for him to be able to shine, and that the offensive line has been, you know, drudge for the last 3 years?
Right, but I feel like I could get some good offensive linemen in the second round that would still be able to come in.
Wiggy, there's no running back that has 8 years of a shelf life in the NFL. Nobody. I mean, those careers are 4 years or if you get 4 years out of a great
Saquon,
running back.
Saquon, Derrick Henry.
Okay, so how many running backs have been drafted in the first round, and how many have careers over 4 years that are where they're elite?
I mean, Saquon's been more than 4 years elite.
That's right. I would say, well, I mean,
Zeke,
like,
unicorns.
Zeke was more than 4 years. He was
I would
elite.
Say, like, most of them, like, they can be elite, and it's going to be somewhere between, like, that 7-8 year period, and that's when they're going to fall off, right, when they get around their 30s.
What's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, you asked if Elliot Wolf even got to talk to Will Campbell. We have audio of all of what Elliot Wolf got to say to Will Campbell, courtesy of the New England Patriots. Here was the initial call when the Patriots drafted Will Campbell.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
This is Cam Williams from the Patriots, man. I got Elliot Wolf right here. He's on the line. He's ready to fill you in on some things.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, man. We're going to make you our first-round pick. You're a New England Patriot.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Here's Coach Vrabel.
All right.
So hold the line, please.
Yes.
The guy who picked you is actually going to be on in a moment.
Ken is so right about this. He's the one who sent that to me.
Like, what?
He said, what is their fascination of including him in these videos?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why are you trying to
trying to make him feel valuable, I guess.
Well, you got to always have somebody say, hey, we're going to take you in the first round. Oh, by the way, here's the head coach.
Congratulations, man. We're going to make you our first round pick. You're a New England Patriot.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Here's Coach Vrabel.
And then, you know, if Vrabel does, hey, we love you. We're glad we picked you. We expect this, that, and the other. And say, hey, I'm giving you back to Elliot Wolf. He's going to get you flight information.
He's like Santo. He packs the bags for him and drives him to the airport.
It gives him the airport itinerary.
Shrapnel. All right, what's next?
Well, next, Greg, in the Warriors' last playoff game, Draymond Green had a bit of an incident once again.
Yes.
He is Draymond Green, so it tends to happen. The fans were chanting F you, Draymond, similar to what we did back when they were here for the NBA Finals.
Oh, wait, where are the breathless stories about how that makes that city racist?
I haven't heard any of those
interesting.
Yet.
Well, God. We can hear from Steve Kerr about those chants at Draymond and Draymond's reaction.
Not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F you, Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it did in Boston a few years ago in the finals. is what it is. Draymond's, he's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. And because of his career, his, you know, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod. And that's all part of it. I would prefer, you know, if fans could use a little more discretion and, you know, remember that, you know, the guy has kids and, you know, it's like there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but yeah. I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I don't know. I just think FU is, it's a little much.
Yes, because Draymond is a guy who's known for using discretion.
Talk
so
about
we gotta
soft.
Return that to him. Yeah. Yes. I mean,
he should have went Anthony Edwards and been like, I make $200 million and my thing is bigger than yours.
I enjoyed Draymond's response, which was basically that belongs to Boston and you're stealing the Boston Celtics fans act.
Yeah. So I got no problem
with
about
the children.
I have to say, I find Steve Kerr more loathsome than Draymond.
I find
him to be just
I don't agree with, like, I mean, Steve, you played in like the early 90s, right?
Right.
And I'm kind of like, the fans probably were a lot worse back then than they are now because there's a million camera phones. And then if you say something reckless, they fine you, they post you on Facebook, and then you get fired.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. We are going to get to the news with Shyam filling in for Courtney next, and then we are going to play your Hill Notes back at 9:20 on this morning's show.
Who had a worst week? Garrett Crochet, Shedeur Sanders, or Shannon Sharp?
I think it's Shannon Sharp by a mile.
Are we getting to the Shannon situation during the news?
We are, Greg.
That is fluid.
Yeah.
Excuse the term.
Oh, God.
But, boy, I'll tell you. Dude basically may have screwed himself out of $100 million.
Well, literally.
Yeah. Definitely.
So anyway, we'll get to that. All that coming up right now, Shyam, with what is trending this hour.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. We've been talking about it all morning. The New England Patriots drafted LSU offensive lineman Will Campbell last night with the 4th pick overall in the first round of the NFL draft. They hold picks 38, 69, and 77 tonight. Those in the second and third rounds.
Consensus in the room when it comes to those picks and what you must absolutely leave the draft with positionally.
Offensive weaponry for Drake.
Okay.
Gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Love that.
So tight end, wide receiver.
Yep.
That doesn't matter.
Running back.
Anybody that can make plays for you for Drake. Okay.
I know Shyam brought up both Henderson and Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. Like, I'm with you. Like, I would love to see that as well as, you know, a younger tight end.
If they end up with Travion Henderson at pick 38 tonight, I will go full pants off. Like, I will.
So I hope they don't.
I will completely forgive.
You threatened it again yesterday with Jones and Keefe. It's a weird thing that you keep threatening to take your pants off.
Yeah, I will go full Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
And okay. I will completely forgive the Will Campbell pick if you get Travion Henderson at 38.
And then you post it to social media. We want to see the Winnie the Pooh on the socials.
Nobody does.
You got it.
Well, you know, he'll wear, like, you know, wrestling trunks.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you said to me yesterday that because of the draft, your pants were unbuttoned, and I noticed it was just because the button popped.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on. That's not nice.
I have a question for you, Greg, food-related, LSU.
Yes.
Gumbo, spectacular. Where do you land?
I'm not a fan.
What? Oh.
Not a gumbo fan.
Oh, I love
gumbo. It's the consistency.
The food takes.
Huh?
You have the weirdest food takes. Gumbo is amazing.
Soup is obligated to be creamy.
It's not soup.
It's not soup.
It is soup.
It is not soup.
It was stew.
Gumbo.
What is it, stew?
It's a roux.
Do you like étouffée?
Huh?
Étouffée.
Étouffée. Wiki and I don't like when you use those
weird words. What's étouffée?
It's a type of Cajun dish.
Food terms. What is it?
It's like it's a Cajun dish known in Louisiana. Like, it's very popular in Louisiana. Yeah.
So it's like beef stew. I don't eat gumbo because I don't eat seafood, but I do like beef stew.
Yeah.
But they say you can make gumbo without seafood.
Yeah, you can get that without shrimp.
Yeah, so I would probably, because I like beef stew, so I would like gumbo.
Oh, and Doobie sausage gumbo. Is dynamite. All right. Anyways, the big shocker of the draft last night was Jacksonville trading a haul to move up from 5-2 to draft Travis Hunter, and Shedeur Sanders dropping, just plummeting out of the first round and into the second.
That was definitely F-U-T-A. That whole move right there.
The Seas are up 2-0 against the Magic in round one of the NBA playoffs.
Sam says a hard on.
What do you mean? F-U-T-A.
F-U-T-A.
F-U-T-A is what Shannon Sharp said.
Also, Wiggy has, I don't know if anybody's noticed, has slightly adjusted the laugh. And this is perfect for Hill Notes, but he's now going.
I'm dealing with some phlegm. Will Fleming.
That was definitely F-U-T-A.
Come on, Shine. What the hell is F-U-T-A?
Etouffee.
Whatever it is. Just say like, oh, do you like Cajun beef stew?
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, Shine.
Sorry, I'm just going to call the dish what it is. The Red
is
Sox.
Is my voice high-pitched?
It always is on Hill Notes.
Yeah, I love the voice on Hill Notes. Hey.
Something else is high. The Red Sox dropped another one to the Mariners 4-3 yesterday afternoon. Garrett Crochet got the loss, going 5 innings, giving up all 4 runs, but striking out 9 along the way. We can hear from Garrett Crochet on yesterday's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, I think just pitching passively. You know, I've been talking about in my past couple pressers, like getting to the glove side, and it became something where I was trying to pitch instead of just throw. You know, I'm always been a bit of a thrower, which is just who I am. You know, once I kind of started getting back to my roots and just being a power pitcher later in the game, the walks were still there, but, you know, I was at least able to get guys out.
I noticed that yesterday being at the game, you could see it. He was trying to, he wasn't just, you know, letting it fly. He was trying to aim.
Yeah.
I saw you on the social medias being denied a ball.
I did. By the shortstop, PJ.
J.P. Crawford.
Yeah.
So you were yelling. Did he at least look at you?
Yeah, I thought he was throwing it towards me, but he went way low. So I'm like, bro, just throw it up here.
I saw you try to steal it from an 8-year-old kid who was there with his stepdad.
Well, what's an 8-year-old kid going to do with a baseball? At least I get it and I take it. I play catch with my kids.
Right.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store in NissanUSA.com today. The Sox head to Cleveland to take on the Guardians tonight. First pitch, 7:10. Tanner Houck on the mound. You can listen to the broadcast right here on WEEI. Our guy Brooksy joins Cooper Boardman on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You can kick things off with Christian Arcand at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Trending Now was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. The 99-cent sale is back. Pick up participating items at Shaw's and Star Market for just 99 cents each or by the pound. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Shime. 64 degrees, rainy outside, pop-up shower. It'll be stopping with an afternoon high in the 70s.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. Peace.
The New England Patriots select Will Campbell with the 4th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, including with Jones and Keefe coming up at 10. Celtics game 3 tonight, and Shime, we're going to have to just delay the news a little bit because it is, this doesn't happen all the time on this show, but when it does, it is an absolute honor and a thrill. And so I would like to welcome back to the program the great D. Brown on a Friday morning here at WEEI. Hello, D.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing? It's always, you know what? It's always great to hear WEEI. I just remember that from Johnny Most and all the people. So when I get on this show, it brings up great memories. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, speaking of great memories and Johnny Most and things like that, are you watching Celtic City?
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me take that back. I haven't watched it yet because I'm a binge watcher. So yeah. I'm going to wait. I get a lot of people call me about the episodes. I think my episode just came on this past week or a week ago or things like that. So I haven't watched it yet. I like to watch it like the whole thing. So I haven't watched it yet. I've seen snippets of it, of course. But I'm looking forward to watching it. I heard it's unbelievable. It's great. You know, if you're a Celtics fan or not a Celtics fan, I think this is something that people always want to know, the history of this great franchise organization, you know, going all the way back to Red Auerbach and Walter Brown, all the way up to, you know, the current Celtics. So I'm going to watch it. It's not like I'm not, but I just want to go sit down, close the door, be in my living room for about 8 hours straight and enjoy my Celtics.
You get a lot of Red Hour back. You get Rick Pitino firing Red Hour back. There's a lot of
don't get me started on that again. Don't get me started on that one.
I've been watching.
I want to blow it.
I've been watching it, and like that's kind of like the wheelhouse of my basketball era is like the early 90s when they made the transition from like kind of the old slow god to the whole nickname of the Zip Boys. What was that like to kind of put a different face on what we saw from the Celtics, those 80s Celtics, to the early 90s Celtics where it was young, upbeat, flying around, slam dunking? What was that like, that transition like for you?
Well, I mean, Red was a genius. I mean, people forget. And also, you know, let's not forget, you know, the late, great Dave Gavitt, who was also part of this transition as well, along with Jan Volk, who was also the GM. So those three guys were kind of the brain trust between this transition. And remember, the transition really started with Lanny Bias. That's when the transition kind of started with, okay, we got to know the big three's going to end up retiring soon. We need the new great Celtics going to take us to the next 20 years. Then he passed away, and all of a sudden, you know, the transition between, you know, the big three to the Zip Boys, from the front court to the back court, myself, Reggie, Brian Shaw, and Kevin Gamble. And to be a part of that, knowing that you're going to be a part of a franchise that, you know, winning banners is what you do. We don't hang up, you know, division banners. Like that feeling of knowing that you're a part of something that always chasing championship every year, anything less, it feels like a failure in Celtics history or even in the fans in Boston. So to be a part of that is just, it was just so exciting and exhilarating being a young kid from Jacksonville, Florida, to be a part of that transition to being a key cog to that. And then, obviously, they retired, obviously at different times, and Reggie passed away, and all of a sudden, you know, it kind of just got stagnant, you know? Yeah. So it's, you know, it was very, very, very tough. But I relish, and it made me the man who I am and love Boston every single day of what they did for me and my family. And, you know, you wish it would have went better, and wish it would have been a better outcome, especially with the people that we lost during that time. But again, nothing would change my love for the city of Boston and the Celtics organization at all, because of all the things that I went through and people I got a chance to meet and be around.
I need you to weigh in on a ridiculous debate that Curtis started on the show yesterday. Curtis suggested that this current Celtics team would beat the 86 team head to head.
No. Once you started down the road that this Celtics team will beat, now I knew the team you're going to talk about, 86 team. They will not beat the 86 team. I'm sorry. Like, I love this team, the new team. They got a great, great, great group of guys. They got a deep bench. 86 team was different. Like, that was a different team. I mean,
But they're playing with the 20.
He's a different team.
They're playing with the 2025 defensive rules, so you can't. We're not playing. We're not playing 86 rules where you can take heads off and they don't call.
Well, you can't. We can't change the rules. We can't meet them halfway. You can't do 20. You can't go 86 to 25. Like they play the 95 rules. Oh, that's different. Kind of that's halfway. If you meet them halfway, I'm still taking 86 Celtics.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you would. All right, speaking of like the way they play and cheap shots, we saw the flagrant on Tatum. Al Horford said yesterday that KCP intentionally tripped him. Looked like to many of us that Cole Anthony cheap shotted the knee into Peyton Pritchard. Is that, from your perspective, is that playing dirty or is that good basketball in the playoffs?
I think it's physical basketball. And I think the refs let people get away a little bit more in the playoffs. It's physical. The referees want to see more gameplay, but sometimes it does. It gets a little bit out of control and guys, hit people. I mean, we talk about the Celtics game, okay? With Jason getting hit and then, Pritchard and Helfer, all those things are happening during the course of the game. It's so fast. Yeah, it's borderline dirty. They're not dirty players. I'm not going to go out and say that. I think it's physical and you get caught up. You look at two incidents that just happened the last couple games with Jimmy Butler and also with Ja Morant. They both fell on their backs and one fell on their hips. There wasn't dirty plays. Guy get pushed, get stumbled, and it just looks bad. So I would never consider those guys that did those to those guys dirty players. But when physical play happens and you get riled up and so much energy and adrenaline happens, you cross the line. We call some of those players, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say names. Habitual line steppers. Yeah. You know who those are. Those guys are in the league. There's certain guys that that the Draymonds and the Dylan Brooks, they're habitual line steppers. They're gonna push the envelope a little bit, and everybody falls into line, and another teammate will do something, and then another team, and then all of a sudden, the game's gotten physical and a little bit out of control and somewhat muddy and dirty. But I know guys are not trying to hurt guys out there, but the playoffs, it gets a little intense. And hopefully, Jason will be back for game three.
Yeah, D. Brown is our guest. Were you surprised that he didn't play Wednesday night?
I was surprised because I was more surprised. That was the first game he missed in the playoffs, more than anything. Like, that's amazing. Like, that was the first playoff game he's missed. And so when I heard that stat, I go, wow, he's not playing. It must be really serious. Or, it's a home game. Early, it's round one. It's a 2-7. They got enough to beat the Magic with the group they had. Jalen stepped up. Derek White's been playing great all series so far. I wasn't surprised once I've learned that it's a long series, it's a long playoffs. You got to win 16 games, and winning game two and risking Jason. Risk to be more aggravated or him not playing to level so he can be scrutinized more. That's all Jason needs right now is, if he played and he only scored 8 points and they won, he's not really a superstar. People add more to the narrative why Jason Tatum's not a great player. It makes me, dizzy. So he did the right thing and they made the right decision on him not playing because the other guy stepped up.
Would Larry have missed a game with a bruised wrist?
Oh God!
I've seen Larry lay on his back plenty times, and wanted to play, but you know what? The powers that be named Ed Bassert and Chris Ford was like, no, you're not playing. So that's an unfair comparison. I've seen Larry come back with hitting his face on the floor, and crack his. His face and come back and hit a couple of jumpers against the Pacers. So it's an unfair comparison. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that one.
D, don't. I know we tried to get you with the 86 question because of my topic yesterday, but he has been all over. He's been Captain Oldman this week.
I see that.
But D, I would just be curious to get your reaction. A big talker here has been Joe Mazzulla screaming, get up to Jason Tatum. as he was on the ground writhing in pain. Was that surprising to you?
No. Is anything that Joe Mazzulla is surprising? He is the most entertaining. I don't know if he's serious sometimes. I don't know if he's just joking with the media and the things he says. He said he was saying out of love. Like, Joe is, I mean, he's such a person that he says what's on his mind. He's very upfront and honest, and you appreciate that. And I think he was saying out of love. I mean, Joe, you know, he's a person that if he speaks it into the universe, it's going to happen. Like, I feel like he's that type of coach. Like, hey, get up. And then he's going, hey, just get up. Like, you know, and Joe, but, you know, you got to admire Joe because he's done such a great job after, obviously, you know, year one and then year two and then championship. And, you know, obviously now, you know, he's the guy. People trust him. You know, he doesn't have a problem with taking, you know, the blame if something goes wrong or calling out people. So you appreciate him. But, you know, you never know what's going to come out of Joe's mouth during a press conference or something like that. But he's so unique, and I really like him. I like him for that.
D, one of the interesting things, I know you said you haven't watched it yet, you're going to binge it, with Celtic City, that they really dive into, especially kind of in your era and the Bird era, is just the racial element of the Boston Celtics fans and just the city and area. I know you had the situation, they obviously talk about that, with you getting pulled over and guns drawn on you.
In Wellesley.
Yeah. What was it like for you at that era to be a black athlete playing in Boston?
Other than that incident, and, you know, I wasn't pulled up. I was already parked in the parking lot already, getting my mail across the street from the post office from the bank that was robbed like a week before I was there. So, you know, that incident obviously was, you know, very, very, you know, traumatic, and, you know, it scares you when you're just first moving to Boston. I was moving into Wellesley at that time. So that was a tough situation. And a lot of good things came out of that, you know, a lot of conversations with the city, a lot of things, you know, I wasn't trying to sue or anything like that. I just wanted some education and people to understand this happens. You know, if I wasn't a Boston Celtic player, you know, what could have happened? Could I have been a shot? You know, so, but after that, you know, I never had any issues in Boston. You know, my wife's from Cambridge. I still got family that lives in Cambridge and Malden. So I'm always up in Boston. I ended up living in Wellesley because we practiced there. Me and Robert Parrish had my basketball camp in Wellesley at Babson College. So I enjoy my time up there. Again, I say this to everybody who always asks me this question. Like, you know, there's always going to be some, you know, racial, you know, inequities in the city you go to. You know, there's certain areas that you go that are predominantly black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever it is, you know. And, you know, I found myself when I was in Boston, I went to North Denton 8, and I walked certain areas and things like that. And people didn't bother me at all, you know, maybe because I was a Celtic and people knew who I was. And so I'm not dismissing that factor and that part of being in Boston. But after the incident, you know, I never had any issues with any race, any fans calling me crazy or calling me certain words or things like that. I love the Boston fans, and they're very, very passionate. And I'm sure they've crossed line in many ways with, you know, opposing teams, and that's not right either, no matter who it is. So, but I love the city. Like I said, my oldest daughter, Lex, who plays in the W right now, WNBA, was born in Boston, you know. So, you know, like I said, Boston's my second home, and it always will be.
Well, we love you. We love having you on. So
appreciate,
come on,
guys.
Come on anytime. Did Wellesley at least, did they give you the key to the city, or like name a rotary after, right, you were? Because I could probably make that happen. Did they do anything?
Well, one thing that happened, I think the police chief got fired, the mayor got fired. I get a lot of things that happened, you know, that was positive for Wellesley and the community. Just kind of, like I said, brought a lot of conversation and awareness to that city, yeah, you know. And even the surrounding cities, Waltham, Needham, all those areas kind of came together and said, listen, you know, if this is happening, we got to do a better job of identifying this stuff shouldn't be happening in, you know, in the, you know, back then, the 1990s, yeah, you know, now it's 2025. Obviously that's, you know, 35 years ago. But it's, you know, still, listen, it's still my favorite place. Like I said, I still got fans, friends and family up there. So, you know, never, ever, ever. You can never, ever get me to say something bad about Boston in that sense at all, even though that happened to me.
Love it. Well, we'll see you when you come back up. Come in and see us. D. Brown, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right.
D. Brown.
What a breath of fresh air.
He's such a good dude.
Wasn't going to sue. I mean, I like, wasn't going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. Got a lot of conversations going, you know.
Yeah.
I know why you booked him. You prepped him for the freaking 86 question.
Yeah, he did.
I was a teammate. Giant L on that one for you.
Yeah, but he did kind of when I said to him, no, D, we're going to use the 2025 rules and how they play defense. He said, well, wait, maybe we could use the 90 rules. But even with the 95 rules, it was still a lot more physical.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with Shime and some of this morning's news filling in for Courtney next. Well, Courtney is off at a bachelorette party in Palm Beach, Florida. What would you guess they're doing right about now? Have they awoken? Are they out?
Oh, they're definitely laying in the sun.
Getting the outfits ready for today. Probably a 3 or 4 outfit day, I would imagine, down there for the bachelorette party.
Today's a good let's get some sun day before we get sauced.
But Chime has the news for us this morning. Chime, hello. Thank you.
Good morning, Greg. You're welcome. A Massachusetts man is being held without bail after he was charged with the killing of 2 men whose bodies were found in the woods behind a Salem Walmart Wednesday afternoon. It's a gruesome murder allegedly involving 30-year-old Jay Blodgett, a man experiencing homelessness who was given a court-appointed attorney at his arraignment Thursday. One body was first found by a person walking a dog in the area, and Salem police were called in. We can hear some of the courtroom audio from WBZ.
We eventually found 2 individuals with apparent blunt force trauma and stab wounds that were deceased. They were hidden in the woods by various items and dirt.
Well, lock the guy up. If he did it, lock him up. Okay, what's next?
Curtis, cover your ears, bud.
Oh.
A fellow TV weather smoke was arrested for making a sex tape.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Josh Fitzpatrick, who worked at 29 News in Charlottesville, Virginia, is accused of secret...
Is that a top 10 market?
Actually, I think it's a top 5. Okay. Yeah, it's real real popular.
Okay. Did he get the 6 and the 11, or was he just relegated to the 11?
Oh, I think it was prime time.
Okay.
Especially for all those UVA students down there in Charlottesville.
Right, okay.
Well, he is accused of secretly filming his accuser during a consensual sexual encounter.
Huh. With a green screen, or was it like a full... I mean, really, is he still employed or is he out of work?
He is not currently employed.
Okay,
the alleged victim claimed he extorted and threatened them with the video's release, so she then went to police.
Oh,
when
boy.
Fitzpatrick caught wind of the police being on his tail, he flew the coop.
Oh.
And he headed to Ohio, where he was nabbed by Ohio authorities. Okay. Cops have now warned that he could have more alleged victims.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Wow. Jesus.
That'll end your weather smoke career right there. On the spot.
Temperature dropped.
Rightly so.
And he says, like, literally, oh, we're expecting 8 inches in Charlottesville.
Okay.
Okay, Wendy. Too soon. what's next?
Well, Massachusetts electric customers are shocked by thousands.
Like, your electric bill is double what it was this time last year. Curtis, have you noticed this?
It's insane. Everything. 2 to 3 times.
Yeah. So
I don't understand.
So people are they shocked by the bills and shocked by getting bills that they don't know they're getting.
Correct. Electric and gas customers across Massachusetts said they've been slammed with surprise utility bills totaling thousands of dollars after Eversource or National Grid failed to bill them regularly for months. Customers received the jumbo bills despite state regulators saying utilities generally don't have the power to collect charges older than 60 days if a customer wasn't billed in a timely manner. We can hear from one victim, Teresa Lawrence Costin, on WCVB.
I didn't receive any cutoff notices, no late status notices, nothing. Just one day out of blue, 10 statements. How do y'all reconcile your accounts? Like, what are y'all doing over there that you didn't realize you wasn't invoicing me, though? They need to be held accountable for their error. This had nothing to do with me. It was not my fault that their system wasn't working.
Yeah.
Right.
It's criminal because people don't have a ton of money sitting around waiting to pay this stuff.
Right.
And then they're just, they figured out their system. They're sending these random bills out. It's like the state is in charge of holding the utilities accountable because you can't, the other problem is you can't even call and get, so you ever try to pay your bill and you call and you can't pay your bill with the actual Eversource person that you're talking to.
Right.
You have to get on the phone with somebody at another place, the bill paying. I mean, old head maneuver calling, I guess, to pay the bill.
But, yeah, because everything is like voice operated. Press one.
I get it. It's just nuts.
It should. You know what they should, like, this should be in our society, and I don't know why we do it. Why for your...
In the Twitch chat, somebody says, Greg, you should just fax your payment over. I'm not that old. Sometimes I like to call and pay things.
We have an idea that we're workshopping for the road shows. I don't know how exactly to do it, but have an old head, young head, or young person.
Ooh, my fans versus the fans Courtney and Shine.
Yeah. Where like we put
the olds versus the youngs.
The olds versus
at the
youngs.
Road shows. I love it.
Where we have like a fax machine that they have to use and you have to Instagram live.
I would love it.
I was saying, because you see this with a lot of banks, right? Why is it that your mistake is my problem?
Right. If they put extra money in your account, you shouldn't have to give it back.
Yeah, why should I have to give it back? You know what I mean? Like, you made a mistake, and now I got to pay, you know, 5 months of statements that you didn't give me because you messed up?
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We'll get to the rest of the news next, including how creepy is it? And if a Starbucks barista asks to borrow your phone, you might want to say no. That's next.